This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 489, recorded on March 21st, 2017. This is a show about technology and ministry, and helping me find those intersections between the two is Sally Draper. As usual, welcome, Sally. How are you?
I'm good. Just trying to survive the March winds. I think I said that last week, didn't I? It's a windy place I live in.
Still there, yes. At least yep. We have a little less snow than we had probably this time.
That's right. That's right. The sun is shining, and it is officially springtime as of yesterday, I believe. So days are getting longer.
There's hope. There's hope. Yes. Did you have a good weekend?
We did. Fun family event. We had a wedding shower for two boys getting married. We faced them off in the newlywed game, or we called it the nearly wed game, and asked them some fun questions. And live streamed it. Live streaming is easy to do. We use Facebook Live, and people from across the country, family members that weren't able to be here, watch. So little technology involved. It went well.
Technology served you well?
It did. We didn't have good sound. That was our big challenge. Was it was a big room, so what was picked up was a little bit boomy and stuff. So You know, you can do it, but.
What were you using as your capture device, an iPhone or iPad?
No, actually, we set up a webcam on a computer to do it that way. So Maybe we would have had better luck with an iPhone mic. I don't know.
Might have. So you killed two birds with one stone. You had two showers in one then.
We did. Two boys getting married this summer. So we made it a little friendly competition. They had fun questions to answer. And it was a real nail biter. It came down to the bonus question. And one of them got it right. One of them missed it. And we had gifts for both of them, of course.
Have they both known their future mates about the same length of time, or was one at a disadvantage?
They probably are pretty equal. But they were at a disadvantage, of course, because they had their parents making up these wacky questions. So we asked them, what would your fiance's parents describe your soon-to-be groom as? What's cereal? So stuff like Lucky Charms and Fruit Loops and all kinds of fun things like that, you know. Who's going to know that stuff? Know how to match.
Very cool. Very cool.
It was fun.
Our daughter is getting married this summer as well, and her shower, I think, is later in April, a little bit closer to the wedding. And Debbie was busy using her Cricut to cut out invitations and whatever they fancy.
Nice. Fun stuff that moms get to do. Yours is a little bit more involved than mine, though, I think, because mine are boys, not girls. So.
Yep. Well, you're fortunate that way. But anyway, so a lot of fun, and should be a fun summer as well. Speaking of summer, I just noticed as I was reading the episode number 489, it's like only 11 episodes away for episode 500. That's going to be a special show. We don't have all the details yet, but I can't even... When we started with number one, you shared with me the original email that I sent back in 06, right?
Mm-hmm.
When
that's correct.
When we first started, I was exploring this concept of a podcast and asked you and another teammate to join in this endeavor. And that was almost 500 shows ago. That's amazing.
That is amazing. Are we going to make it to 1,000, or are we going to just say we made it to 500 and call it quits, or what?
I don't know. I think our audience might get a little tired of us by 1,000, but we'll see.
We'll see what technology and ministry has in store.
Exactly. I'm sure there'll be things to talk about, that's for sure,
talking
or not. So, God willing. So what are we talking about today, Sally?
Well, that's kind of the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's Community Feedback Week, so we're talking about all kinds of stuff.
Who knows?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And some interesting things. I love this show, but I also probably have the hardest time preparing for this show because I'm like the the dog with the squirrel running by, my attention goes down one rabbit hole and another, and I'm totally engrossed in all this interesting stuff that folks share with us.
So what we try and do is we wrestle up all the feedback we've received in a lot of different formats. Sometimes it's an email, sometimes it's a Twitter with a Wells Tech hashtag, our Google group, Facebook, Google Plus, we're all over the place. And we try and figure out what we can all pull together. And we can't spend a lot of time on any one item, so we just kind of shotgun style, throw it out there, maybe give a quick conversation to it, something that we have never heard before. In fact, most of the things that we talk about, I think, in community feedback are things that have not crossed our desks or our inboxes or whatever. So it's kind of a little bit of a Christmas surprise each time we open up the community feedback bag. And it's kind of fun. That's what makes it fun. And we hear from all kinds of different people. And today is no different. Where should we start with our community feedback today?
I think we can start with email from folks.
Okay.
And we've
do email.
Yeah, I got a couple of interesting emails, starting off with the possibility of free Proclaim software. So Proclaim, I believe, comes from those good folks at Logos, Faith Life. It's their church projection software solution, basically. And what's cool about it is it's cloud-based, so you can collaborate with others on the same presentation or church service that you're working through. And they have the possibility of offering free software. There's not a lot of information, but we have a link related for teachers and students from the Proclaim website. And this was Kevin Boschek who shared this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep, and this is a special offered probably, and he thinks, not to our grade schools, but to our seminary or prep schools, those kinds of things that would be qualified as Bible, or probably not even prep, I don't know. Bible colleges or seminaries with a worship program or chapel is the definition here of who the freebie would go to. So it's probably not worth, I mean, it's probably worth the effort just to ask them, and maybe they would offer this free price tag even to those that aren't in that specifically in that area. But Kevin wanted to share that with us and let us know that that's possible good news.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll include a link in the show notes to the webpage that they have information about that on. Next up, heard from a friend, Tom Rosenau, with an interesting link, just that Leo Laporte, the tech guy, discussed editing on a Chromebook for worship services. And not what you'd normally expect to hear on the Tech Guy podcast. Leo Laporte, quite famous for his technology podcast, and apparently somebody called in, and you can listen to it. It's on episode 1368 from March 4th, starting at about 39 minutes, and I gave it a little listen. The guy described the fact that he was recording the audio of his worship service and doing it on a device. He didn't say what kind, a digital recorder hooked to their sound system or whatever. And he would take home each day an SD card each Sunday and edit it on his home computer in Audacity and post the file. But he was considering putting a computer there at church and doing the recording to the computer instead. And he asked specifically, could he use a Chromebook for this? I wanted to say, you know, get in touch with Alan Bont at the church, I think it's Good Shepherds in Wisconsin Rapids, but Leo looked around a little and found Twisted Wave is a Chrome app that allows you to edit your audio right there in the cloud, so you don't have to have local software to do it. And then certainly you could post it to a website from there as well. So definitely a possibility with Chromebook. I think Leo gave some good safety net kind of advice. He said, don't quit recording to your digital device until you get all this worked out. Use it as a backup for your recordings, and maybe record it to start with using your Windows computer in the Chrome browser to try it that way, rather than jumping directly to a Chromebook for it. So interesting and refreshing to hear Leo talk about recording worship services.
Church related, exactly right. Yeah. Chromebooks are always an interesting question around what they can and can't do. And we know, I think, in conversations we've had over the years, especially since Chromebooks have made a nice splash in the classroom, what they can do. But some of the things that they don't do real well or how a real apparent how to do them is things like audio and video. For instance, you know, Audacity is a Windows program. I think it's available on the Mac, too. But you can't install those kinds of things on a Chromebook. Now I think there are possibilities coming as they've announced or Google has announced that Chromebooks will start running, or some of them do, will run Android apps. And that opens up some other possibilities as well for audio and video recording. So that's really kind of the good news side of where Chromebooks are headed with their ability to use Android apps.
Definitely. All right, next up, we had an email from longtime listener and contributor to the show, Leslie Bergman. And Leslie's asking about the future of Final Web. I think, Martin, we had mentioned a few months ago that we were excited about some new developments going on at Final Web. Mm-hmm. Leslie was looking for an update on that.
Yeah, they're coming along. I can't say too much. I do have a beta very early, probably not even beta. I would maybe almost call it an alpha version of what they have in store. And this is kind of a total redo of what we all know, those of us that use Final Web, what we know as the Final Web interface. It's all pointed at totally responsive design, mobile-friendly design. The templates that they're building have, you know, the larger images and the scrolling features and the drag and drop. And I think it's kind of taking a look at, or they're trying to take a look at, the content management systems that are out there today, things like Squarespace and those kinds of things, and figuring out how to implement that. And so they're pretty early on in the process. I would say they're looking at this year for sure of launching this, but I've seen some roadmaps that suggest by this summer that we'll have something, at least in a limited fashion, things that I think people will be excited about, and especially the new templates and the ability to kind of keep up with the Joneses and kind of modernize some of those templates that we've kind of had for quite a while at this point. So can't give you any more details than that, but the interfaces that I've seen to build pages, add blogs, add ministry resources or downloads, uploads, that kind of thing. Those are kind of in their beginning phases, but they're looking pretty good. So a little bit of patience, and we'll get more news out as it comes along, and maybe we'll have Brian Schaefer, our primary contact there at Final Web, come on the show and give us a little bit of an update in the process here.
Excellent. Good news for Final Webbers. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. All right, I'm going to share my screen. This one came to me via email, although it's actually a blog post, but I subscribe to the email updates from Church Tech Today and would certainly recommend that you do the same if you are interested. The one that I'm referencing is titled Free Easter Resources, and we all know Easter is not far away. They have an Easter marketing guide. It says it includes promotion planner, delivery calendar, done-for-you social media post, Windows tutorial videos, delivered daily via email for 2 weeks, each with easy-to-implement ideas for Easter marketing. So maybe worth a look just to maybe spark some ideas for ways that you can reach out to people with the good news around your Easter celebration. They also have 2 Easter ebooks plus a video interview from a group called Aware 3 Church Community Builder and their Unstuck group. So the first ebook covers 5 pillars to building a sustainable, vibrant volunteer ministry, something we've talked about quite a bit on the Wells Tech podcast. Second one is titled An Introvert's Guide to Easter, How Mobile Technology Connects People. So if you're looking at mobile ministry potential, this might be of interest to you. And then there's an interview with someone from the Unstruck group about key ways to remove chaos from the busiest Sunday of the year. And we all know that Easter is a very busy day in the life of the church. Finally, they highlight the folks at Proclaim presentation software. We spoke about them earlier from Faith Life, and the fact that they have about, well, actually more than 500 pieces of media, motion backgrounds, PowerPoint templates, still images, all of that available for free. Back in January, apparently their designers blocked off a whole day to create free resources for the church, and you can download a free trial of Proclaim and the 500 Easter resources from their website. So check it out, and if you do, let us know what you think of these free resources available for Easter.
Sounds like a great find. Mm-hmm. Good. We should probably move on to Twitter, and there was not a lot of activity on Twitter this time around. In fact, the only one I'm seeing here in our notes, Allie, is from me.
Been tweeting lately.
Do you have that up on screen, or do I need to pull that up here?
I do not have it up, but I can.
Just give me a second, and I'll wrestle it up here. The tweet had to do with Accordance Bible software, so let me quickly share my screen, and there it is. Accordance is one of the, you know, maybe their big three of Bible software. We've talked about Lugus, we've talked about Bible Works, and now Accordance. Accordance, I think, primarily was a Mac piece of software, and now they are on Windows, but apparently, let me just open up the news article here. They have a Bible, or the Church Tech Today people, speaking of Church Tech Today, did a review of Accordance version 12 back on February 24. So they kind of give you a rundown of all the features that they liked, kind of a screencast of the user interface so you can see what it looks like, some of the features that are available, just kind of a great overview. It's a nice long article. They have lots of screenshots and some of the key features in it, some of the new things that they've added, new tabs, a recycle button, horizontal and vertical orientations, depending on how you want to view it, parallel panes, lots of different things that they go through in giving you their review of Accordance version 12. So if you are kind of in the Bible software market and Accordance is on your radar, this would be a great read for you, because it's going to walk you through almost all of the main features. I mean, this article goes on and on, gives all kinds of screenshots and videos and so on and so forth. Just kind of the best all-in-one review I've seen in a long time for Accordance version 12. So good job, Church Tech Today folks, for putting that together. I think that will be a useful resource for anybody in the market for Bible software.
Excellent. All right, time to move along then to our Wells Tech Google group. This group exists to have conversations and ask questions. So it's basically an email group. You can sign up, you can view the emails or the messages online in discussion forum format, but when you sign up, you can also receive the messages via email, and many people chime in with responses as questions are put out there. So this month there were a couple, and one I was kind of surprised, one actually that hasn't been answered yet. Mm-hmm. Starting with that one, it was from Zachary Beach, and he's looking to gather more information about online offering programs. He mentioned that Vanco, the Simply Giving provider that used to partner with Thrivent, has raised their rates, and he wondered what other people are using. And I know, I'm pretty sure my congregation is using the Vanco solution, so I wasn't familiar with what others were doing. We've talked about it in the past, Martin, but not real recently, and he didn't get any responses. So if you're listening today and have some information to share with Zachary, it would be great if you'd head over to the Google group and do so. I don't know if you have any particular comments on that topic, Martin.
I didn't do any research. Maybe I'm mistaken, but do we have any information on our Welsh Tech Wiki page?
We may, and I was going to dig into that too. So yeah, if I find some, I'll respond to Zachary myself. But I know we did a show on this in the past, but it's been quite some time ago.
I see it right here. Awesome. In fact, I could probably do a quick screen share. I was able to locate it here. The ones we list, VanCo is the first one, or one of the first ones. JustGive.org, EasyTithe.com, MinistryGive.com, and PayPal, which is what Final Web uses. We also have some mobile giving applications, some text to give, and then some suggestions for credit card giving if you want to take point of sale kinds of things. So take a look at our Wells Tech Wiki page for some of that information. We don't give a lot of other than just kind of a raw listing there, but it's maybe a good place to start. And hopefully somebody will jump on the Google group page and give some real world experience with some of these products. But we use VanCo as well at our church.
And I'm just making a note of that wiki page, so I'll have that link in the show notes, and I'll respond to Zachary's question as well. Next up in the Google group, then, Martin, you mentioned that the Synod has some PTZ. What does PTZ stand
Band
for?
Cameras. Zoom cameras.
Okay.
Those that can be remotely controlled. When we moved, we had a bunch of these cameras. Well, not a bunch. We had at least two mounted in the old facility, which we didn't have a use for in the new facility, and then we had three that we used for live streaming. We in the past 4 years upgraded that, so these are a little bit older cameras. They're not HD, but they need a home, so if you are interested in a video camera, they can be had for probably a very cheap price. We've had have not had any offers yet on these. These are not cheap cameras. They are Sony cameras, and well crafted. One of them has a little rotation problem. It's doesn't have the PT or Z working properly, but all the other equipment is there. The lenses are good. There's no scratches. They do produce good quality. They do use S-Video, I want to say, as the way to get the feed out. So if that is something that might work in your congregation or school, these things need a good home, so let us know.
Awesome. And then finally, there was quite a discussion around interactive whiteboards, and this started back on, well, it goes back to 2016, but somebody resurrected it recently in March. Mark Meyer responded and said that they've tested Smart versus Promethean and found Promethean more responsive. So they're adding Promethean panels, and that kind of just brought in a lot more conversation about pricing, about Smart's having interactive panels as well. And then Jason Schmidt commented on Mimio interactive displays, more expensive, the size of the room relative to the display is very important to calculate. So you want your display large enough for the students that are sitting in the back, perhaps of a 30 foot by 30 foot classroom. You need a 60 inch display to go along with that. And there were others who chimed in. Joshua Shanick from Kettle chimed in. Just an interesting discussion around the thought of whether you actually even need projectors, if the projectors should be short throw projectors that are close to the board, and lots of things to consider. And the price tag isn't small. You want to choose wisely in this interactive whiteboard space. So interesting discussion.
So check out, and if you're not interested in these topics, but you have a question, another technology topic of your own, that is a great place to start it, and that's at the Wells Tech Google Groups. If you go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, you can see a link to it at the top of the page, so you can join the group and participate in the conversation.
Yep.
Moving on to Facebook, Sally?
I think so. I've got a scrambled brain of links open. My list is getting shorter though, so hopefully I'm in the right place. One of the things we like to do is check out the Wealth Intersection group on Facebook. That's a group established by Pastor Jim Aderman where lots of good ideas are shared. And a couple of the articles that were featured there recently, this one in particular caught my eye, 5 Hot Trends for School Website Design. A lot of schools out there, and this is asking what parents are looking for. I think these are trends for any website design, but certainly mobile first is very important as you're designing a new school website. You want it to look good on mobile devices. Clean and simple design, they say. Keep it simple is always a good policy. Accessibility, so that different accessibility ADA compliant type guidelines are followed, so students and parents can access the site. Landing pages, and a landing page can dramatically help how you engage various segments of your school community. So you got to put on the audience's hat and think about what they're looking for most, and try to engage them right off the bat when they land on your website. And then finally, the trend for full width imagery and video. Imagine that. Images are where it's at in communication these days, and definitely many sites are going with these full width images to enhance their layout and design. So good things to keep in mind for those looking at school websites, probably looking at any type of website.
Yep, good article. Let's
see. There is an interesting State of Church Communications kind of white paper available online, Pastor Aderman shared. It says, a deep dive into the emerging and rapidly evolving world of church communications. So I think you have to sign up, give them your email address or something in order to download the report. And I don't have here the notes that he gave related to it, but I do have a link to the report. Let's see if it'll come up for us. So table of contents, introduction, methodology, respondent profile, what is church communications, emerging director of communications, what churches are doing now, web presence and practices, priorities moving forward, and conclusions. And Martin, this just kind of reminds me of some older white papers. Maybe it's time for us to update some of the things we've written about in the past, because one of the things we've talked about throughout all of this tenure of Wells Tech episodes is the fact that churches would be wise to consider a communication committee and maybe a subcommittee even off of that, or some tech-minded people on that communications committee to deal with strategic communications and the use of technology in the process. So seems like this report somewhat echoes those things that we've talked about.
Yep. And I was surprised when I saw this that there is a magazine. I guess it shouldn't surprise me. There's a magazine for everything, but this one is on just worship facilities. Mm-hmm. So if that's something that you're into, or maybe you're in a building project or considering renovation, something like that, this magazine might be something you want to bookmark. So I'm sure there's information in there about the use of screens, multimedia, all those kinds of things. I'm sure hearing loops, et cetera, would all be probably topics, fair game for that particular publication.
Yeah. One more article we'll share a link to in the show notes was something shared by Cindy Krieger on the Wells Intersection site. And the title of the article was, 85% of Facebook video is watched without sound. They have a picture of, a silent movie actor or whatever. And, you know, it does give you pause that a lot of people don't want to turn the sound up on video, depending on their settings or whatever. What would your video say to them without the use of sound? And consider that as you're developing your video. And, you know, certainly it can have words on the screen, but also imagery that supports what you're trying to communicate. So interesting insight there.
I believe this figure, because that's probably about my percentage of those times where I'd turn on the sound. And usually it's because I would be missing. I felt that it's of interest, and I'd be missing something if I didn't play it with sound. So, mm-hmm. So that's a great stat.
Yeah. All right. And then just a couple of mentions from our Wealth Tech page. You know, this year we've had more of a focus on ministry resources, Martin, and been publishing separate posts and sharing them. And I think they're getting a little bit of attention from our Wealth Tech community. Recently, I wrote about the lectionary for Google Calendar, and Rachel Pearson said she loves that calendar, references it all the time, both to help my church plan worship services, and this is the part I really like, as well as to write the weekly prayers in my planner. So what a great way to frame your week with the prayers for the week in front of you throughout the week. So good idea, Rachel. Thanks for sharing that. And then recently, Martin, you wrote about the On My Heart Lutheran memory.
Catechism memorization program. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
And we heard from Shelley Daly, who said she loved and just started using that program this year. And she homeschools and will tell us more details. So I'm anxious to hear how she's using it and what ages she's using it with in her homeschool environment and what their experience with it has been. So hopefully we'll hear back from Shelley and can share more of that insight that she has with that program.
Very good.
Yep.
So that takes us to the last section, but there's just a ton of stuff here in our Google Plus groups, not ours, but those that we follow and are interested in. There's two of them, Wells Google Schools and Office 365 Schools over in the Google Schools category. Jeff Dorn posted, and normally these are Google, of course, Google-related technologies that filter into this board, but I think some of them are universally appealing. How Team Drives solves one of G Suite's biggest problems from using technology better. And this is really exciting news, Sally. I don't know about you, but one of the biggest problems, as I've talked with congregations and schools especially about G Suite and Google Drive, is that there is no community folders or drives. Everybody, there's always just one owner, and then that one owner has to share out access to the folder. I have not seen this in action. I looked just the other day, and it's not available on our G Suite account yet. But I'm really looking forward to this and also sharing this with our school, because this is one of their big problems, these team drives, where you can just create a collaborative, community-based or multi-person-based drive versus the single drive. So if you have it, and I don't think you need to turn it on, I think it will turn itself on. So when you create a new folder, you'll have the ability to make it a team drive and then give permissions to it. So this is really good news.
Yeah, definitely. This article that was shared in Wells Google Schools community has screenshots of the whole thing. And at the top, it was updated on to say that Google released Team Drives to all G Suite education and enterprise customers on March 9th. So fairly recently that this has rolled out. And so check it out. It should show up under your My Drive and show Team Drives there. So be interested to hear how people are using this, if they've got it available and if they've rolled it out to their faculty and staff in their schools or in their congregation, then what kind of uses you're finding for it.
Thanks for sharing that, Jeff. Matt Notling had a couple posts. One of his was a question about replacing their current student information system, which is FastDirect, with TADS Educate, formerly Cornerstone. If your school uses TADS Educate, considering it or is considering it, I would appreciate your thoughts. So I don't think he had any responses to that. So if you have any experience with that, make sure you get on the Google Schools group and share your experiences with TADS Educate. The other one was a link to an educational technology blog, let me pull it up here. Sally, do you have it up already?
I think I do.
Using
Educational Mosaic.
Yeah, Educational Mosaic is the website. Their article, Using Chromebooks for Creative expression. Did you get a chance to look at this one, Sally?
I have not looked at it. They have different ideas, though, that you can use to express using different Chromebook-based apps to create things like video slideshows.
Web-based. Yeah, they talk about Adobe Spark Video, so narrating a video slideshow, design an interactive image. They talk about some iPad tools even that I've experienced on the iPad that are available as a Chrome extension, Explain Everything. We've talked about that in the past. Wii Video for creating and editing video, taking virtual field trips with My Maps or Tour Builder, recording a mock interview. They talk about the tool Soundtrap. Guess a mystery location. They list some resources there. Mystery Hangout. There's a Mystery Hangout community apparently on Google Plus. And creating a multimedia poster with something called Glogster. So a lot of these tools I am not that familiar with. So if you're interested in the creative side of what you can do with a Chromebook, whether that be video, audio, etc., this would be a good article to check out on Educational Mosaic, another great blog that might be good to bookmark. Should we go into the next one? Ryan Randall referenced Learn Math for free forever. I'm not familiar with this resource either. Let me open this up real quick. Oh, I got a 404 error. Were you able to get it open?
I got it. Prodigygame.com, and it says the most engaging math platform in the world. Join over 15 million students, teachers, and parents using our free curriculum-aligned math game for grades 1 through 8. So it looks like you have to get a free account, and then, go for it.
It is free forever.
Looks like Rachel Pearson said that she's using it, and her students love it. So there's some positive feedback on Learn Math for Free Forever from prodigygame.com.
Very good. Actually, I know why I'm getting these 404s, because I've got too many Google accounts, and it's logged me in with
the wrong one.
Yeah. So I've got to pick the right one.
Without destroying our video conference we got going here.
I'll try not to do
that. That would be bad.
Next one is from Ryan Randall, also left a question. He says, good afternoon. We're looking at possibly using Chromebooks in our upper grades. We're looking at a few options. Student purchase Chromebooks, school purchase management and enroll student devices, or student purchase Chromebooks, do not enroll the devices. So he's really looking for some advice on how to kind of structure their Chromebook rollout, whether it should be student-owned or purchased, school-owned or purchased. Do you enroll them? Do you not enroll them? There are a lot of different options. And he got good feedback from Andrew Willems, John Dorn, and Ryan Rosenthal, all who have experience with that. And so if that is a question that you guys are struggling with, or your school is struggling with, take a look at that question and those responses there.
Yep.
Next one was from David Tess, our good friend David Tess, and he referenced G Suite update support for rotated text, accounting number formats, and more in Google Sheets. And that this is kind of a problem, I think, in general for spreadsheets. You have these narrow columns, maybe a yes-no column, but you need a label at the top. And so it spreads out the column way too wide for the symbol itself, the Y or the N. So apparently now Google Sheets gives you the ability to make that in a vertical orientation rather than horizontal. That sounds actually very useful. It looks actually much better that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely pretty clean. Something you could do in Excel all along, so they're catching up a little bit with Microsoft Excel in that regard. And it
these web-based tools have, I think, always lagged a little bit behind the desktop ones, but it seems like they're catching up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Looks like you can align your dollar signs accounting style rather than right next to the numbers. Makes your spreadsheet a little more readable. Right. There's more border styles and other improvements for mobile. Working with Google Sheets on mobile. So welcome updates to Google Sheets.
Very good. And then somebody in your neck of the woods posted, and just on the hill there at Martin Luther College, James Karlofsky. And he linked to an article about how to import your Google Classroom roster into Khan Academy. It's really a bummer to re-key in that when you're going to different tools, and he found a nifty way to get it out of your Google Classroom roster into Khan Academy without the fuss. So that's a good win if you use multiple tools.
Yep. You just are asked to give Khan Academy permission to see which classes you teach in Classroom and then choose the class you want to import right into Khan Academy. So definitely a time saver for teachers and an easy way to connect their students without having to give them a whole lot more information in the process.
And last but not least, let's jump real quickly over to our Office 365 Schools Google group. And I'll just note that there were a couple of posts related to OneNote. OneNote seems to dominate the conversation there and very useful in the classroom. First one was useful tips and tricks for the classroom. See if I can open that one up now.
I've got it open.
Oh, okay.
Yep, it's from Cool Cat teacher Vicki Davis. She's a very popular technology blogger in the education space, and she's looking at lots of ways that you can use OneNote and has apparently a podcast around it.
Yeah, I was noticing a podcast.
Yeah, so 10-minute teacher, and so she's, let's see. I'm not following super closely who she's talking to. I see that she has a guest on, and they're talking about OneNote. So I haven't listened to the podcast, obviously, but I think what she has to share, useful tips for and tricks for the classroom. So if you're a OneNote teacher, you'd want to listen in. Dr. Tom Grissom is joining her.
Yep. And along those same lines, there was a link to something called teachercast.net, and that's a YouTube podcast. This one happens to be 48 minutes long, entitled Five Great Ways to Use OneNote in Education. So seems to be a groundswell of resources that'll help you leverage your OneNote installation, which is part of the education license that you get for Office 365 for Education. So that would be something worth checking out, as well as just the whole TeacherCast podcast in general. So thanks for sharing that information. I think that's going to do it, Sally. A lot of community feedback. If you want to participate between now and the next time we do this, a month from now, go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and take advantage of all the different ways you can contribute to the show, all the social networks. We didn't have any Digo this month, or Pinterest. So sad. lots of different opportunities to share with us or react to the things that we've talked about on the show.
Definitely.
Should we move on to news in tech? There was some late-breaking news, and I can share this piece of information from Apple. They kind of had a low-key update to their iPad line. iPad sales have been slowing, as it seems that people aren't replacing their iPads as quickly as they're replacing, let's say, their iPhones. And Apple just announced this morning that they're replacing their iPad Air 2 with a new version, a 9.7-inch model that's simply called iPad. The new iPad is going to feature a little bit faster processor and be cheaper. So they've lowered the price to $329 for the 32 gigabyte model, $459 for the
what cellular is it? Connected model.
Ah, that's what
about
it is.
4G.
Cellular connected model. Mm-hmm. And up from there. So that's a $70 price cut from the outgoing Air 2, which is the one that I'm using, which is perfectly fine. They made some other changes. They're not going to be selling the iPad Mini 2 anymore. They're adding some storage to that line, though. So just some slight changes to the iPad line. So if you are interested in picking one up, it's going to be a little more reasonable on the budget if you're doing that. Now, these are all going to be available on Friday, in addition to a red iPhone. If red is your color and you've been waiting for red,
now's the time.
Their All Project right. Red iPhone is going to be available.
Excellent.
How about news in the Wells world, Sally?
Well, I have recently learned about Martin Luther College's page dedicated to Reformation 500, the celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. And on that page, you can check out their anniversary series. A lot of this driven by Professor Arnold Kelpin, retired Professor Arnold Kelpin, who is quite the historian. There's a series of lectures. Professor Kelpin did a lecture on the Minneapolis Institute of Art Luther exhibit. And one thing that I definitely wanted to point out is that Martin Luther College is planning a 2018 alumni tour of Lutherland. So they're going to Germany, Austria, and Rome on the 16-day tour, June 18th through July 4th, 2018, so next summer. And several of their professors are going along on the trip. I want to say, oh, here it is. Professors Donnell, Kelpin, Wessel, and President Mark Zarling plan to be on the trip. So this was one you probably want to mark on your calendar and start saving your pennies for, because it looks to be an excellent tour of Lutherland. So more information will be coming out, and you can sign up to get updates from Steve Balza, their alumni director. So check that out, along with all the other great resources that MLC has made available related to Reformation 500.
Super. No pricing yet, doesn't look like. But
It said approximately $4,000 per person, okay, based on double occupancy.
Very good. Mm-hmm. All right, Sally, it's that time in the show where we do our picks or tips of the week, where we kind of look around our offices and in the corners and check out what's on our hard drives and figure out what's been useful to us, what's intrigued us, what we're trying out. What fills that bill for you this week, Sally?
Well, mine is really just an informational article. It fits well with the other things that we shared from the Wells Google Schools group, because recently it was announced that Google Classroom is now available for personal Google accounts. Previously, it had only been on Google for Education, or G Suite for Education. Great tool for collaborating in schools, but you have to be a G Suite for Education user to have access to it. It says starting today, which this was dated March 15th, last week, G Suite for Education administrators will be able to manage who can join classrooms with options for personal Google accounts, G Suite accounts, and even users from other G Suite domains. So you can invite people in to your Google, your G Suite for Education instances of classrooms who aren't on your own domain. It recommends that schools sign up for G Suite for Education, but this should help make Google Classroom far more accessible. So I can already use my Gmail account on the web app.
So that means not just other domains, but just normal
Gmail addresses or Hotmail addresses or whatever it seems like.
All right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That could apply, I would think, in ministry context or ministry speak to catechism classes that are using that, or Bible classes, and so forth. So,
yeah,
good news.
Definitely.
My pick of the week is a monitor that I've been using for probably a year now. I just never have made it a pick. I'm pretty convinced that I like the one monitor setup rather than two or three monitors. Different people, you know, have different preferences. But if you're going to have one monitor, you probably want it as big as you can get it. And that was kind of my theory about a year ago when I was in the market for a monitor and found one from Dell, which is now on sale. So that's why I thought I'd make it a pick. It's not inexpensive, but it's, you know, it's not in the stratosphere either, for $539 right now with free shipping to Prime members through Amazon. Get the Dell Ultra HD 4K monitor. It's a 27-inch LED monitor, and I'm really impressed with this. It's really reliable. It has all the connections that you want and the USB ports. It does have 4K capabilities, although I don't play a lot of movies here, although that might be a use case for some people if they're cutting the cord and, you know, got this monitor in a, you know, a more in a group setting, or you do a lot of video watching, this would be a good monitor as well. But I didn't know about the size when I ordered it, but it's probably just about the right size. I can fit, you know, two pretty good applications side by side on here. So I could have email or browser open on either side of the window. And one thing that, you know, that went through my head when I looked at this particular monitor and wondered, well, is it worth the price, is that this is something you look at all day long. And to try and struggle through kind of a low res, low fidelity experience is just not doing your eyes any favor. So this is really crystal clear text. You can shrink things down pretty well and still see it. It's bright enough. I don't have any issues with getting what I need on the screen if I'm trying to do, you know, have a couple windows open, doing cutting and pasting or whatever it is. It's just, I think it's a good value, and I've never had any issues with it. Whether you put it on a stand or a radiating arm, which gives you a little bit more flexibility, I think this is a good value. So that's the Dell Ultra HD 4K. It's for the model number, it's P2715Q. They have some a little bit cheaper ones. They have a 24-inch 4K, and they have a couple others that compare to this. But this seems to be the right hit the spot for at least my computing habits. And I don't actually look at the computer's monitor. The computer's the laptop's built-in monitor. I just kind of work off of this one as the main monitor, and been using that approach for quite a while. So really happy with it.
Very good. Do you use it on a stand or on an arm?
I have it on an arm, and the primary reason is because I have people at my desk and I'm trying to, and that's another reason. So if you have meetings like I do at my desk, two or three, four people, it's big enough that I can rotate it around and move it back and forth. And have multiple viewing angles. I guess you could do that on a stand as long as you didn't have stuff in the way. But if it's on an arm, that's kind of a nice setup. And I probably should make the arm a pick too. That was I did a lot of research on that because I didn't know what would work. I've never used an arm before. And they're very inexpensive. I think this arm was like $30, something like that. I was really surprised. It's one of those clamp-on ones and wouldn't work for every desk, but it certainly holds this monitor up well and works for me.
Cool.
Maybe I'll put a picture of my setup on the show notes page.
That would be awesome. We'd love to see.
Sally, you mentioned our focus on ministry resources this year, and you've got one tucked away that you're going to share with us.
I do, and it actually fits well with a lot of the conversation today, Martin, because we've talked a lot about video and ministry, and my pick is actually, or my ministry resource is actually the Wells collection of videos that we have out on Vimeo. I gave it a little thought and wanted to, you know, sit in the shoes of people trying to do ministry out there. And I think one of the things that's probably pretty challenging in terms of technology these days is that a lot of the communication is moving more and more to video communication. Right. It's almost like you aren't a player if you don't have some video in the mix, because more and more time spent on it. One of the interesting stats I read was that an average consumer today watches 49 minutes of social video every day. And of course, that number is expected to grow. Another stat about by 2019, about 80% of the internet traffic will be video traffic. Mm-hmm. So just a space that we need to pay more and more attention to, and maybe something that's a little bit challenging for congregations and schools to have the expertise and the time, et cetera, to do strategic thinking around and production of video, which is what led me to highlighting all the Wells videos that are out there. And we have just a huge collection. I was really surprised when I went out to the Wells account on Vimeo. There are 1,300 videos, and I think 1,100 of them are public videos available on the Wells account there, and they cover all kinds of things. So you could actually plan and make use of Bible study materials that are there, evangelism series. There are mission updates and interviews with missionaries. Certainly there's plenty of news from Wells that you could share, as well as parenting ideas, women's ministry, youth ideas. The Wells Connection is available there, typically a month or so after it's been released for congregational use. And so really just a vast library of videos that you can make use of in a lot of different ways in ministry settings.
To mention all of our Wells Tech videos.
Yeah, I didn't even throw in the fact that there's 400 something Wells Tech videos out there as well. That's kind of a given if you're watching Wells Tech. I bet you knew that already. But I did make a little walkthrough video and show some of those resources. I also demonstrated how easy it is to just grab a link or to share it on social media or to embed it on your own website where the embed code is located on the videos. And so you can watch that overview video, and hopefully the Wells video collection on Vimeo will be a blessing to your ministry.
Very nice. Thank you, Sally.
Yep.
Speaking of video, we have a segment in our show called Featured Video, where we look around and try and find something maybe that ties in with the show topic, sometimes not, just something that fits in with the season of the church year. What did we have for a featured video this week?
This one's actually a community submitted video because it came from the Office 365 Google group. Someone shared a video to Fluid Math, which is a tablet and interactive whiteboard math software. So it allows people to write on in the software, and it'll do things like graph it based on your handwriting. Lots of easy ways to work with higher level math and some of the special symbols and things that are involved in higher level math. So if you're a math teacher, I think this will be of special interest to you.
Very nice. All right. Well, that is going to about do it. We had a full show, action-packed, in fact, show this week for 489. I shouldn't say we. One of us is going to be back next week for show 490, and it's you, Sally, but you're not going to be alone. You're going to be joined by our good friend Jason Schmidt talking about some educational technology stuff, right?
That's right. It's always fun to have Jason on the show, and we'll be surprised by what we have to talk about, but I've heard that he's doing some robotics stuff lately. So I'd love to get an update on robotics going on in his school district. But you have to tune in, folks, because Jason always brings his A game. It should be a fun show.
So I will be off on vacation visiting my son in Austin, Texas, but I will return the following week. And I know you guys will have a good old time with Mr. Sunshine.
And you too. Enjoy that vacation.
I will do that. Thanks all of you for joining us. We're so happy that you decided to share an hour of your time with us to talk about technology and ministry. And we hope that you'll tune in next week and do the same again. Bye-bye.